Be not many masters. Don't be teachers. Don't assume this business of preaching, teaching. And those teachers and preachers that, and men, you know, it's an awesome responsibility to teach a Bible class, to teach young people, to teach kids. And if we take this responsibility upon ourselves without being sent of God, and here's the thing about it, if we teach others, we're going to receive the greater condemnation, because what we tell people, we ourselves must be true to. And so, you know, when the man is going to preach and teach and set himself up as a teacher, he is an absolute idiot if God don't send him and don't call him. Don't even start. Don't wait till Saturday night to get something together. Don't wait till Friday night to get something. You know, you, God's people, God's preacher, he's ready. And then he goes on to say about, we offend in many things, we offend all. Everything we do offends. Sometimes everything we do and we offend everybody. But if a man learns how to not offend in word, when he's preaching, teaching, if he don't offend in word, if he uses and learns how to preach the truth in love with some wisdom, and God uses them to teach them, and they don't be offensive in the word, then that man's able even to control his own body, control everything about him. And then he goes on to say about how he uses his illustrations about the tongue. If you're going to get up and use your tongue, going to use your mouth. We put bits in horses' mouths. Little old, great old big horse, big old 1,000-pound horse. Take a little old bitty piece of metal, stick it in that horse's mouth, and you can control it. You can control it. And you have a ship, 100-ton ship, 1,100-pound ship, huge ship, great weight ship, and take a little old bitty helm, little old bitty piece, and turn that thing around. But the tongue, this little bitty member, just like that little bitty bit in a horse's mouth, that little bitty ailment turns the ship, the tongue, this little bitty member, boasteth great things, says some great things, boasteth about itself. But grow, how great a matter a little fire kindeth. Do you know this tongue? It's like it takes a match to set a whole woods on fire, burn a house down. This tongue can set the world itself on fire. It can destroy homes, can destroy marriages, destroy churches, destroy friendships. And he says it's a world of iniquity. A world of iniquities in it. A world of sins in it. And then he comes on down to say there in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poisons. Everything else has been tamed. Birds, beasts, snakes, whales, tigers, lions, elephants, you name it, it's been tamed. But everything, you can't tame a tongue. Only the grace of God can tame a man's tongue. And what he's doing here, he's showing us that whatever you get up and start talking about and using your tongue, whatever the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And he tells us that if we set ourselves up to be masters, teachers, judges, God help us not to be offensive with our tongues. And everything can be controlled but the tongue. No man, it says here, no man can tame it. No man. I can't tame it. You can't tame it. No man can tame another man's tongue. Can't even tame it ourselves. No man can tame it. But oh my. And he comes on down here to say, and he asks three questions. For God's grace can, he asks three questions. He says in verse 11, doeth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Verse 12, can the fig tree bear olive berries, either a vine figs? And verse 13, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? So here he comes talking about the use of our tongues. This tongue that we have, this tongue that we preach with, this tongue that we teach with, this tongue that we pray with. Therewith bless we the Father, even God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And we do with our tongues. We do with our tongues. We bless God, even our Father. We praise and bless God. He called Him even our Father. We say, Abba, Father. We use our tongues to tell of the glory of God, to tell of the glory of Christ. We use our tongues to sing hymns of praise. Gary just sung a hymn. Bradley led us in two wonderful, wonderful hymns. Oh, wonderful hymns. And here we sing these blessed hymns. We use our tongues to praise God, to sing, to pray. Oh, we use them in words to give thanks for mercies given to us in Christ. And we praise God and bless God, even our Father, with our tongue. And then, he says, would we use the same tongue? Use the same tongue with cursed men which are made in the image of God. To use the same tongue to praise and bless God with, and at the same time turn around and cuss those that are made in His likeness. And this word curse means to desire evil. To desire evil to happen to somebody, to criticize them. And this is a sad thing, and we have to admit this. I do. It's a sad thing that we have to admit to using our tongue, oftentimes to curse, to speak harshly, to speak hatefully, to speak unkindly, even of those that's been renewed in the image of God Himself. And all to bless God with the tongue, and then turn around and curse somebody with that. And after they made that the similitude of God? Oh no. He says that down in verse 8, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Blessing and cursing out of the same mouth? Blessing and cursing? It's almost like he says, how can this possibly be? Huh? Use the tongue to praise God. Use the tongue to give thanks, to bless God, to glorify God. Turn around and use it to curse people that are made and renewed in the image of God. And he's talking about among the saints of God. Yeah. Huh? And some use the tongue by the grace of God to bless God and to bless others with it, to be a blessing to others. And others whose tongue's not been tamed by the grace of God, they'll curse and speak unkind to others, be ill to others, be unkind to others. And this is the thing about it. Some, sadly, try to do both. They try to do both. With the same tongue, they'll talk religion. They'll bless God, profess godliness. And at the same time, turn around when they get the opportunity to criticize and speak evil of others. And James says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. These things ought not so to be. And I tell you, to people to dwell in unity and fellowship, I told Kyle Ann this afternoon, said, ain't it wonderful? The unity and fellowship we have, a bunch of people can get together and go out and eat and laugh and enjoy one another's company so much that it makes you hard to deal with things like this. It's such a blessing. But there's sadly some people try to do both. They try with the same tongue to talk about God, talk about religion, to bless God, to praise God, and profess godliness, and then turn around and speak so harsh and so unkind and so critical and so mean and so hateful and ungracious to others who are made in the likeness of God and renewed in the image of God. And if you do it at home, with your husband or your wife or your children, and come in here and talk about I know God and I bless God and I praise God, and then go home and mistreat your wife or your husband or your children, James says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. These things ought not so to be. What he's saying is, this is wicked. This is sinful. This is unnatural. What's unnatural about it? It's unnatural for those that have the grace of God. It's unbecoming. It's unworthy of the very name of Christian. Just unworthy of that. And he gives us two illustrations. Look, he gives us two illustrations. He starts here in verse 11. He said, if you go up to a fountain to get water, out of that same fountain, are you going to get sweet water and bitter at the same time? It's either going to be sweet water or it's going to be bitter. You can't get both from the same fountain. That's what he's saying. If you go up to a fountain, if you're going to get water, is it going to give you bitter water or is it going to give you sweet water? It can't give you both. That's what he's saying. So how can you use your tongue to bless God and use your tongue to curse people at the same time? Criticize others at the same time. And that's what he's saying. She's showing how ridiculous it is for a man to think that he may truly praise God with the same tongue and lie and curse and blaspheme. And then look what he says. Can the fig tree, my brethren, by olive perish? Well, of course, it's absurd. You go to a fig tree to get figs. You go to an olive tree to get olives. And he says, how are you going to, that's what he's saying, how can a man say that he has the grace of God and God's used his tongue and blessed his tongue? He's been renewed in the image of Christ. He's been recreated in Christ, been renewed in Christ. And he comes along here and he's supposed to be bearing figs and all he is bearing olive berries. You can't get figs and olive off of the same tree. And then he goes on to say, either a vine, figs. And all necessary. So there's no way in the world that a fountain can both yield salt water and fresh. And that's what he's showing us. He says, you know, your tongue's going to be one or the other. And whatever's in your heart, that's what's coming out of your tongue. If your heart's not got grace in it, grace ain't coming out your mouth. If your heart ain't got the love of God in it, love ain't coming out. If your heart ain't got the mercy of God in it, then mercy's not coming out. Now I know that we're not perfect by no stretch of our imagination. I understand that. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what God does for a person in his life. And then look what he comes to ask this question then. So, oh my, you know, who is a wise man among you and endued with knowledge? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And he said, who is wise among you, endued with knowledge among you? Who is wise and who is God blessed with knowledge among you? Now there's not a one of us in this building today, not a one of us tonight that would say, boy, we're fools. I'm a fool. All of us would like to think we're wise to some degree. None of us consider ourselves a fool. We'd like to think we're wise. We'd like to think we have some knowledge, endued with knowledge. And if we claim to be wise, we claim to have the wisdom of Christ, claim to have knowledge of the Scriptures, claim to have a knowledge of Christ, nay, claim to have a knowledge of the things of God, claim to have a knowledge of ourselves. And he says, let him show out of a good conversation, and that conversation means a manner of life. Yeah. Not what he's saying, out of your very life. He's talking about a fountain. Water coming out of a fountain. He's talking about fruit on trees. He's talking about salt water, fresh water, bitter water, sweet water. And he says here, let him show out of his good conversation, out of his manner of life, his works. Don't just talk about it. If you say you've got some wisdom, God's blessed you with some knowledge. Don't just talk about it. Don't just let it be in words. Don't let him just use your tongue and talk about it. He said, let him show out of his good conversation, his good manner of life, his works. And watch this. With meekness and wisdom. Now what does that word meekness mean? It means submissive, pliable, bowing down to that. And that meekness of wisdom. Not showing off, not bragging, not boasting. But he just lives his life, and you see by his life, he has some knowledge, he has some wisdom. But now watch what else he says here. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something, beloved. It's not the person who thinks well. Not the person who thinks well. It's not the person who talks well. But James said it's the person who lives and acts well. Lives and acts well. You know, it's by our conduct. And by our conversation. This is not a single act he's talking about. Just look at this work I've done, or people see this work I've done. When he says by a good conversation, let him see his work. By our conduct and conversation. This is not a single act. It's a course of living. And it's a course of living according to the Word if we have this wisdom and knowledge of God. I want to show you a couple of things. Look over here in Romans 14 with me just a moment. Romans 14. You know, who is wise among you, endued with knowledge? It's not the person who thinks well, talks well, but it's the person who lives and acts well. You can claim to be wise. You can claim to have knowledge. But why? How do you act? How do you carry yourself? How do you conduct yourself? What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your life? What is it day in and day out? What is it year in and year out? What is it month in and month out? What is it on the job? What is it in the home? What is it when you're among yourself? What is it when you're with other people? How do you act when you're in a grocery store? How do you act when you run into four friends? How do you act? This is what he's talking about. It's not just what we say, it's what we do. And he goes on to say here in Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Oh, I know I'm saved because I eat this meat and I don't drink that and I drink this and I don't drink that other thing and I live this way and I live this other way. But he says that's not what the kingdom of God is in. But it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's like he just read a minute ago. The effect of righteousness is quietness and peace and assurance forever. And look in Colossians with me. Oh, this is what I want for myself. Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about meekness and wisdom and showing evidence of spiritual wisdom, spiritual meekness. In Colossians 3 and verse 12. Flee youthful lust. But he says here in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. That word bowel means your inward parts, your very heart, your very soul. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And what's this? And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Oh my. That's what he says. You claim to have wisdom? He said, this is what it is. This is what you. Let's see it. That's what he's saying. Let's see it. Now back over in our... That's evidence of spiritual wisdom and meekness. Now back over in our text here in James. He said, who is a wise man in verse 13 endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wit. But now listen, the opposite of that is, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And oh boy, bitterness. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, pretend what you will. Think yourself to be wise. But if you have bitter envying and strife. And this word bitter, you know, it means so distasteful. It means such ill will towards someone. And if you have this envying and strife in your hearts, don't glory about it. Don't pretend. Don't pretend what you will. Don't glory against it, because if you do, what you're doing is you're lying against the truth. If you have envy and strife in your hearts, and you know what the truth is, you know what it is when you glory in this and you're lying against the truth. If a man says he loves God and loves not his brother, he's a liar and a truth ain't in him. Yeah. How can you love God, your God whom you have not seen, and not love your brother whom you have seen? And how can we say that Christ is in us, and grace is in us, and mercy is in us, and yet we would be full of envy and strife and cause strife? And oh my, I can't imagine strife. I know we've been through some strife. There's nothing worse in a congregation, nothing worse in a home, nothing worse than strife. The wise man said, I'd rather dwell in the rooftop, in the corner rooftop of a house, than dwell in a house, have a stall ox, and have everything I want, and be in a house with a strife. And oh my, to have strife. We don't want to have strife. And oh, to have this, And then to claim that you have wisdom, that you have knowledge, what he's saying is that you're lying. He's just lying. Let me show you a couple things over in Proverbs. Oh, these are such good things. We need to have the men read through Proverbs again. There was the time we read through Proverbs. It's such a blessing. But Proverbs 11, look at this with me. Envy and jealousy and contention. You know where it comes from? It comes from pride. If you have meekness and have a right estimation of yourself, folks can hardly make you mad at them. Huh? Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Oh my, what did we have that we didn't receive? Listen, you're talking about an anomaly, a paradox, that's another word I'm thinking of. But I tell you, for us, for a believer, to have pride after what we, for God, to everything we have, God gave it to us. Everything we know, God taught it to us. Every spiritual blessing, we have it in Christ. We've not earned anything. And he says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. When you feel pride, don't you get ashamed of yourself? Don't you feel that shame, that guilt, whenever you think too well of yourself? But what's this with lowliness? But with the lowly are some wisdom. He sees things like they are. He sees himself as he is. He sees God as he is. And what do I got to lift myself up for? So there's no sense of me contending and arguing and striving with somebody. I'm nothing. And look over here in chapter 13 and verse 10. And I've showed this to folks who wanted to be contentious over the years, where I've been with folks who want to argue and want to be contentious and want to start trouble. And take them to this verse of Scripture right here. Only by pride, Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. You know what causes contention? Argument? People being contentious? The proud. What's this? But with the well-advised is wisdom. Who advised him well? The Holy Ghost did. The Scriptures did. Huh? Look back over with me now. And all he goes on to say here. So if you have this envy and strife in your hearts, don't glory. Don't glory not. Just glory not. Just don't talk about being wise. Don't talk about having good conversation. Don't talk about that. Just you're lying against the truth. And he says this wisdom of envying and strife and confusion, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. It's this wisdom that's this envy and strife. And what it is saying, if you knew them the way I knew them, if you seen things the way I see, if you understood what I understand, if you seen things the way I did, and that's how things start. They think they have a wisdom, an insight. And they think they know things about other people that they don't know. And they go around, they're trying to start some strife, and trying to try some contention. And it's because of envy. Well, he gets too much attention. And he's got this thing. And they see somebody have a little something that they want, and they'll start picking and striving. And listen, there ain't none of us that got anything that God didn't give us. And I'm just as happy. And this is the truth as God's witness. And this way we ought to be. If God blesses you to have the most expensive automobile that money can buy, and if God bless you to have that, bless your heart, I'm glad for you. The thing that matters is, do you support the gospel? Do you support the gospel? Do you support the church? Do you use what God gives you for that? And that's all that matters. Whatever God gives you, take what you got. If you support the gospel and He gives you more to do with, do that. And that's what He's saying here. But people find this reason to be envious. They're envious of what somebody has, some position they have, some more love that they have, or some kindness that they have. And I can admit this, that I've done that way. There's been times, you know, that I say, "Oh Lord, please don't let me feel that way. Please don't let me feel that way." You know, you hear good preachers, oh my soul. And I hear preaching sometimes and I think, what in the world am I? Why did I ever open my mouth to start with? Why did I ever start? There's some good at it. And I say, "Lord, why can't I be like that? Forgive me, I can't be no more of what I am." But that's what I'm saying. It's what we, whatever we have, if we have this knowledge, and we've had this wisdom, let's don't be envious of anything anybody's got. As long as they're coming and attending the gospel, if they're supporting the work, that's what you do. Huh? And all he goes on to say here, this wisdom is not from above, but earthly, sensual, devilish. And what he's saying is to use the tongue to bless God and to curse men, and then to claim to have wisdom, then to claim to have knowledge, then be envious, then be contentious. This is earthly, it's sensual, it's fleshly, it's devilish. This wisdom's not of God. Anyone knows how to argue. Anyone knows how to start trouble. That's as natural as water running downhill. Anybody knows how to do that. But everybody don't know how to make peace. Everybody don't know how to bring people that's against one another to bring them together. Huh? And oh, and then goes on to say, list there in verse 16, for envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. You get around where folks are fussing and fighting and striving, there's confusion. Well, I thought these folks loved ones. Confusion. I thought he loved him. Now listen to what he's saying. That's confusion. He says he got some wisdom. He knows something about God. But listen to what he's saying. Listen to what he's saying about that. And listen to what he's saying about this other. Listen to what he's saying about... And all that's confusion. Every evil work. Oh my. When our attitude, when our words create strife, confusion, division among the brethren, when we speak from envy, bitterness, selfishness, it's not of God. It's not of God. It's not of God. I'll tell you something. Where wise men worship, there's love, there's peace, there's mercy. That's where wise men worship. But where there's envy and strife, there's confusion. And there's evil work. And you know our Lord Jesus, they said about Him. Well, let's just look at Matthew 11. Let's just look at this. Let me say, wisdom's justified of her children. And this is what's so sad about it. That a person can justify themselves in anything they want to do. If they want to be envious and strife and contentious and claim and speak words, you know, "I know God and I've got some wisdom, I've got some knowledge," and then they're ill and hateful and contrary. And, oh, but look what he says. Matthew 11, verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Behold, a man gluttonous, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." But he says, "But wisdom is justified of her children." He says, the way they want to look at things, they'll justify it. That's the way they saw Christ. A wine bibber, a drunkard, a gluttonous man. And that caused envy and strife and confusion. Everybody else looks and said, "How could he be that way? Do you see those miracles? Have you ever heard anything come out of his mouth that shouldn't come out of his mouth? You ever seen any work that wasn't full of grace and love and mercy?" And they said, "Oh no, this man's a winebibber. He's a drunkard, friend of publican." And then they said, "Well, they're justified. They justified." And I tell you, we can be as ill as the devil himself, and we can end up justifying ourselves in it, huh? But oh, thank God, there's some wisdom. And where wise men worship, there's love and peace and mercy. And oh,
Don't want no envy, don't want no strife, don't want no confusion, don't want no evil work. Do you? Don't want it. When it starts, guess where I'm going to go? I'm going to go to the house. But oh, look at verse 17. But that wisdom that's from above. Oh, there's a wisdom that God gives men. That, remember James started out, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He says, oh, there's a wisdom that comes from above. Oh, my. And this wisdom, what is it? He says several things about it. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. But all that wisdom that's from above, that wisdom that comes from God, first thing about it, it's pure. It's pure. Huh? It's pure. Our Lord said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you got a, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not going to see Him at the end, they see Him now. And when the heart has been purified and washed in the blood and entertains pure thoughts, good thoughts, the mouth will speak accordingly. And let me tell you, know, when I was looking at these notes this evening, I began to think, how can I think anything but pure thoughts about anybody in this building? I know right now. How could I not? How could I not? Bruce Daly told me this morning that he was 42 when I first started preaching to him. I was 32. I'll be 60 Tuesday. How from 32 to 60? How many years is that? One of you math whizzes. 28? I've been preaching him 28 years. Some of you longer than that. How could I possibly have an impure thought about you? James, I've known you. How could I think an evil thing? How could I do that? When I love you and I know you, how could we do these things? How could you entertain an impure thought about you? Sisters, fathers, mothers, brothers, children. And this is wisdom that comes from above. It calls you to give thanks. Huh? And then it's peaceable. It's peaceable. That's the upper opposite of strife. And I'll tell you something. Men who desire peace, you know what they do? They speak peacefully. They speak peacefully. Huh? Blessed are the peacemakers, our Lord Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're called the children of God. And then look what else it says. And it's gentle. Gentle. That means it's mild. It's courteous. Kind. And patient. And you know what? Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. And it's an attribute of our Lord and of His servants. You know, when our Lord Jesus, those fellows was asleep, and he went over there and prayed till his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And he told those, Peter, James, and John, could you stay awake and watch with me for an hour? He went off a stone throw and he prayed, and he come back and he come over there, and there they were, they're asleep. You know, do you think he got harsh with them or unkind with them? No, you know what he said? Couldn't you just, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. But could not you watch just an hour? Well, just go ahead and sleep. He was so gentle with them. When he come walking on the water, and they got scared teetotally to death. And you know what the first word out of his mouth was? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. When you're in the middle of the night, and the storm's coming, you're on that boat, and all the waves is just tossing you here and yonder about. He could have said, oh, you fellas, I tell you, I'm just so tired of putting up with you. And you bunch of dummies, and you don't learn nothing. Listen. And he could have just walked right on by. But no, he said, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It's me. Let me show you a couple of things. Let me look over here in 1 Thessalonians 2. This is, you know, our Lord, even after he was raised from the dead. And when he first appeared to those disciples, and he appeared in that upper room with them, the first time he appeared, you know what the first words out of his mouth? The first words out of his mouth when he appeared to them. Instead of chiding, they was hid there for fear of the Jews. But the first thing he said to them, "Peace be unto you." Oh my. Oh God, have mercy on me. Teach me these things. Look in 1 Thessalonians 2. Look in verse 5. Look what Paul's talking about. Even his disciples had this same thing of Christ. "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory." We never asked men to glory about us and brag on us. "Neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." Now listen. "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children." Every one of you all had babies. Babies, grandbabies. How do you treat that baby? You treat it so gentle. It can cry and be upset, and you just hold it and try to get it to calm down and wipe its tears, find out what's the matter with it. You're so patient with it, so tender with it, so gentle with it, speaks so soft to it. And that's what he says, this wisdom from above you. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we treat one another that way? Wouldn't it be something? Huh? Everybody wants to, everybody gets around a baby, everybody just cherishes a baby. Nurses it to make sure that it's going to get the right amount of milk, going to get fed. And that's what he said. And he said, that's what we do. And oh, beloved. And I tell you, and then look what it says here again over here in 1 James, chapter, verse 17, chapter 2. Not only is it peaceable, but it's gentle. And listen to this, and easy to be entreated. You know what that means, easy to be entreated? They say, go and entreat him for me. What that means, go persuade him for me. Go ask him for me. And he says, with that wisdom that comes from above, it's easy to be entreated. That means it's persuadable to what's good. It's persuadable from what's evil. That means they're willing to listen. That means they're willing to listen to any word of reason. Explanation, quick to forgive. And that's why, you know, there's some of y'all, you're so easy to be entreated. I preached, like Ruby sitting there. I love to preach to her. She's so easy to be entreated. She's so easy to be persuaded. She's so, she just, that wisdom, you know, she enjoys it. She can be, and you can see when the scriptures come, how it does. And that's what he said, easy to be entreated. I don't have to come on hard to me. Easy to be entreated. And look what else. This wisdom that's from above, it's full of mercy, good fruits. Full of mercy and good fruits. And you know what this tells us, beloved? Wisdom knows who it is that makes men to differ. Wisdom knows who makes men rich and who makes men poor. Wisdom knows who raises up men and who doesn't. Wisdom knows who gives gifts to men and who doesn't, withholds them. We're all subject to the sovereignty of God. And then he says, without partiality. That means without suspicion. We're not suspicious. Free from judging. We're not partial. We're not partial to those who seem to have an outward appearance and they seem to be more spiritual than somebody else. Or we're partial to those that we think we can get something from. No, no. And then he says this, without hypocrisy. That means that have this wisdom that comes from above has no disguise. No deceits. It's sincere. It's open. It's straightforward. And I want you to look at this verse of Scripture. And God make us over 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. May God make us by His grace. Make me this way. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:12. May God in His grace make me this way. Without hypocrisy, without partiality, full of mercy, good fruits. God help us to be this way. This way. Look what he says here. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our rejoicing is this. This is what we rejoice in. This is the testimony of our conscience. That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, our manner of life in the world, and more abundantly towards you. Oh, fleshly wisdom did have nothing to do with it. They've got a good conscience. Simplicity and sincerity. By the grace of God, our life is open for everybody to look at. That's what we're talking about. And then back over, and let me close it out with this. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Fruit of righteousness. All this wisdom that comes from above is a fruit. And it's the fruit of righteousness is sown. And sown in peace of them that make peace. Where heavenly wisdom and love is. Where they live and operate. The fruit of righteousness is enjoyed. Here we have love and peace operates here. Lives here. Fruit of righteousness is enjoyed. And those who sow in peace, you know what? They usually reap a peaceful harvest. Whatever you sow, that's what. Sow in peace, you'll reap in peace. Let others sow and reap contention. But let us sow in righteousness. Let us sow in peace. And I'm going to read that same verse of Scripture that Gary done read, because it's the verse that goes with this so well. And the work of righteousness shall be peace and quietness and assurance forever. Oh, that wisdom that comes from above. God give us that wisdom. And you know who that wisdom is? Over in Proverbs it talks about wisdom. Let wisdom have her. That's Christ. To know Christ is wisdom. We want to know Christ. We want Christ to put on. We want to learn of Christ.